Welcome to the monthly Humanist Union of Madison meeting. We're going to see three short videos ranging from 2 to 6 minutes in length. They're from Brave New Films, and it's on the topic of home as a right, immigration topic.
I am a registered nurse. I'm an eternal optimist.
We're all humans and want to pursue happiness.
I am a DACA recipient and I'm undocumented.
I was able to apply for a job.
I was able to go to school. That could change my life. I love this country.
They are making America great.
A country that you love so much.
We chose him. He's the kind of guy that our military needs.
When I was in high school, I was fearless. I thought I could do anything.
My son, he's growing up.
We're woven into the fabric of this great nation. We are what makes America great.
DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, is an immigration policy that allows young people who arrived in the U.S. as minors to remain here under the protection of the law. Enacted by President Obama's executive action in 2012, DACA has qualified an estimated 1.7 million youth immigrants to go to school, obtain work permits, build productive careers, and pursue the dream of a better life. They said we'd be safe.
We don't want to see you get separated from your family. We have to come up with a solution for the DACA kids.
They said they wouldn't come for us.
Some absolutely incredible kids. We're going to deal with DACA with heart.
They lied.
I was brought here when I was 7, so I honestly feel like I am part of this country by now.
Just because I'm Mexican and undocumented, they already see me as less than them.
In my eyes, it's a form of violence.
The arrest of a woman who had DACA status by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, is raising new questions of fear for a community that thought they were spared from arrest to other dreamers being detained by ICE.
They basically told me that DACA couldn't matter in this situation.
A local man arrested by federal agents.
In the face of these attacks, all immigrants are at risk. We were on the wrong side of history when we sent Jewish refugees back to Europe and their deaths. We were on the wrong side of history when we detained Japanese Americans during World War II in internment camps. What side of history will you be on this time? Here's what you can do. Document everything. You have a right to witness and record the enforcement action. Make note of badge numbers, license plates, address, and the time of the ICE interaction. Share these injustices on social media and amplify by sharing with local media. Get out in the streets with local immigration organizations to put public pressure on ICE and the Trump administration. Here are some of the groups working on immigration rights. InformedImmigrant.com can connect you to local resources and rapid response networks. Get involved locally. Contact your local officials and tell them to support sanctuary legislation, stop deportations, and all law enforcement communications with ICE. Attend neighborhood and city council meetings to advocate for immigrant rights. Stay loud. Make your voice heard.
Tonight in America, children are afraid. Men and women are worried and anxious, thinking about where they can run and hide. We promise our brothers and sisters who are undocumented, we will never leave you alone.
Our fight is right here and right now.
Somebody remind me what ICE stands for. ICE? What does ICE mean?
Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
So it's a branch of the Immigration Service.
It's the
This enforcing branch.
Enforced, yeah.
Well, who are they telling not to cooperate with ICE?
Everybody, yeah. Because the sanctuary cities, that's one of the things that makes them the sanctuary cities, is the federal government has had these rules that the police need to report undocumented people for any contact. So if you're being beaten up by your husband and you call the police, if you're that they're supposed to ask
you. Find out if you're documented before the police can even help you.
Yeah, yeah. And so,
and you don't help the police if you witness something, because,
So that's so in a sanctuary city, the police are saying we don't want to be the ones to be reporting to ICE, because then the community won't trust us to call for help.
Yeah.
All right. So what's how do you tell if you're in the sanctuary city?
Then we are.
Madison is one.
Does that mean you can trust the police?
It's a city decision. So it went.
Well, the thing is, they still have to cooperate with ICE.
They do if they're.
Yeah. They just, the sanctuaryness is just basically an equivalent of don't ask, don't tell.
Exactly.
But they still have to cooperate with ICE, so it's not blanket, right? Do nothing.
And the mayor didn't want to use the word sanctuary city, but did the city council vote on that?
I don't know if they officially probably, but is I think it? That's certainly the directive to our police.
But what about Milwaukee? Is that a sanctuary city?
I don't know if it is or not.
I know the county sheriff took a strong position of non-cooperation with the feds.
That's did you say Dane County or Green County?
Dane County.
And if somebody's in jail, like for a traffic violation, and they're undocumented, the police are supposed to notify ICE so they can come take them away. And so that's another way that they don't cooperate, so they don't call them.
Now, when they have the young people that are under the DACA, what happens if young people are covered under that, what happens to their parents? Their parents can still be...
Big news. Yes. Kind of article about that today, whether to take your kid back with you or to... leave them here all alone.
Yeah. I mean, if the parents are undocumented and they get sent back, do they leave their children here?
The article had examples of all three.
Yeah, and there's...
So Page Fogle had this guy who looked, practically as Caucasian as the day he was born, next to his Mexican mother, and she took him back.
Yeah, it's a good problem for these kids because they're not...
They don't speak the language.
Half the time they don't speak the language. They're not familiar with the culture.
Yeah.
And then they get so.
They're not welcome back there either.
Right. So it's a real problem. I know Mary ran into a kid who was deported when she was doing that border work.
Mary
Summers. And this kid had he didn't speak Spanish. Didn't know the culture. I'm not sure if his family was from Mexico or someplace else, but they had dumped him across the border. And, I mean, he was just lost. Yeah. He was just plunked down in a foreign culture that he... And he'd been in this country since he was two or three or something like that. I mean, just hadn't a clue.
Who was feeding him?
I think there were... groups on the border, on the other border that are set up to help people. But it was just totally inhumane. That may have been before DACA. Yeah. But I think it was still under Obama.
Yeah, I wonder what happens with DACA if the parents are sent away. Is there some kind of provision for them to be cared for?
No. The families are kind of setting up, but both for DACA kids and for kids that are U.S. citizens.
If the parents are deported. Yeah.
Right, if the parents are deported, the parents are trying to, you know, try to have some sort of emergency plan. Because the kids may be at school and, you know, they come home and their parents are gone.
Yeah.
You know, so parents that are in that situation are having to devise backup plans that their kids and the, you know, it might be a neighbor, it might be a different relative or something, but they, you know, otherwise they're...
Orphaned.
Orphaned, yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's a really bad situation.
Another of the videos deals with Syria. Maybe the next one we've got here.
And you get some of the families, like one of the women that Randy tutors, she's a Spanish-speaking woman, and her kids have grown up, but her kids were her interpreters. So now her kids have grown up and left home and have their own families, and she's facing a language crisis because she doesn't really speak English very well or that well. And she doesn't have somebody. A lot of families, that was the kids who were the interpreters.
Yeah, that was true of my stepfather's mother. They were Russian, and there were 12 kids. And, you know, somebody came to the door, she'd just shoo whoever was around to the door to translate.
Yep.
And by the time I knew her, she was an elderly woman, and her English was still pretty darn limited.
Can you make it a little more vertical so it doesn't leave stuff out in the sun? When you sit down,
stand up a little straighter, Bob. The screen.
Yeah, you've got some weird shadows.
Push the table
eyes.
Closer to the wall and stand it up against the wall.
It'll stand up on its own. Just
needs to be. Yeah. But when he sits down, it'll be a reflection of the sun and make the dark.
Yeah.
So, Bob, are you catching this? Move the screen more vertical.
When you get it going, because it gets reflection.
It's not playing.
Well, when you are standing there, it's reflecting the sun from the backyard.
Yeah. I don't know why the play button is not working here.
Oh dear.
Well, it thinks it's this lascivious game that you're playing, and that's why it won't help.
Pull the knitting needle out. So for the right side, it's the dog that little baby sitting chewing my other knitting needle. And I'm not liking it. It's very stiff. I'm going to have to get a different one.
Let's close this and start over.
FFRF convention is next month. Anybody thinking of going besides me?
It wasn't.
What convention?
Occasional. The FFRF convention.
Freedom from
religion.
Conventions they've been introducing an international aspect. It's kind of interesting to hear them talk.
Oh, that's good.
The international aspect.
We had a woman call our house a couple days ago. We got Bob's telephone number off the humanist website. Because she was in Appleton, was it?
Oshkosh.
Oshkosh. And her neighbors were telling her she ought to be going to church. Not sure why.
The business isn't there.
Exactly. But she said, but I don't believe in God. So, but she didn't know that. So he assured her that she could go to the Unitarian Church in Fox.
I don't know why this is not playing this time. I played the first one. I can get your laptop.
Out of the car.
Yep.
Do you have the keys still?
Yep. Yes, I think so. Yep. Unless you know why. I'm using Windows Media Player and it worked on the first video.
Are you connected to the web?
No, it's not from the web. It's from my phone.
Oh, it's just on that.
Right. And it's showing up here on the list, but nothing happens when I open it.
You broke it.
Did you try completely shutting it?
Yeah. Did you tell the machine you were in a hurry?
Because then for sure it won't
work. Or that it's urgent?
I just shut it off and turn it back off.
Attributing orneriness to machines.
He told her and that nobody is going to ask her if she goes to the Fox Valley UU Church if she believes in God.
Yeah.
So she had never heard of Unitarians.
Oh,
really?
Which,
well, that was helpful for her.
Oh, yeah, I think it was very helpful. But, you know, it's amazing how there's still a whole lot of people who haven't heard of Unitarians or don't know what they are. For sure, there's a whole lot of people who don't know what Universalists are, including a lot of Unitarians.
Seen one, you've seen them all.
Yeah.
Have you heard the difference between Universalists and Unitarians?
Oh, I can't wait to hear, John.
Well, Universalists believe that God is too good to the man. And the Unitarian believes that man is too good to be there.
Right, right, exactly. And that's pretty good summary. I have heard that one. It's not a bad summary.
And
the margin is blurring, let's say.
Yeah.
And you know you can be open-minded without having holes in your head.
Does that make you holy?
It was interesting that visitor had ever been to.
Oh, I wasn't there.
Oh, he said he'd been to First and to the.
Oh, yeah.
The Christian Science. He visited those two groups and we were the third visit. I thought that was interesting.
So he's trying different.
I guess.
Trying
different. Yes,
not just different churches, actually, different philosophies.
It's probably basically charged, but. Wouldn't hurt to plug it in.
I don't believe it. Two machines that use the same.
Oh, that's just what I was thinking.
Connector.
No, that is the same connector. It
can't happen.
That isn't the connector.
It isn't allowed.
No, it doesn't work. That connector is not what will. That won't work. The connector won't work.
Yeah.
I don't think to charge it.
He's hoping to prove you wrong.
Tell it later. You're going to have to turn that off first. Tell it later. See that little square?
Turn it off.
This. You won't do anything until you close that down.
I need to turn it off before.
No.
Okay.
Oh,
that's
back.
We can't turn our backs again.
Okay. But I could not lie any longer. The demonstration, the rest, our house was. One day, all of a sudden,
the shop I owned and worked at was looted.
It was hit. Half the population has been forced to flee their homes. I never thought this would happen. My house was destroyed. Syrian refugees undergo the most security of anybody coming to the U.S.
0.2%.
And you mentioned that the U.S. had committed to taking 0.2% of the Syrian refugees.
Does this go on?
And that's been identified as too many.
Yes.
Oh yeah, you can't trust those people.
Does this go more?
They're terrorists.
That's the end of
this. That's it.
That's a short one.
I guess it's a short one. So
it would be nice if they put in a comparison of how many Canada or something, or Argentina or Brazil.
Or Sweden.
Sweden is totally long.
Yeah, super effective.
Well, Germany takes quite a few too, don't they?
Who?
Germany.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think in the spirit of penance.
Yeah.
I found it interesting. Vice had a news piece the other day on Somali people from the U.S. that were refugees are now going back to Somali and putting it back together.
Wow.
Oh, they're going there doing the medicine and they're running for office in, like, what was it? A majority of the people on their new government thing are returnees from the U.S.
Wow, which means they probably
from Detroit
or Minneapolis.
Detroit.
Sometimes that works. Sometimes some of these Africans basically end up in jail and stay there just because they want to help people.
Well, this seemed to be. I mean, they actually ran for office and won.
Sometimes it does work. Sometimes
and they're putting Somali back together.
When we were in
Minneapolis. One poor guy who spent most of his time in America and then went to Nigeria as an adult and got arrested for bringing in health goods.
Oh.
That was Nigeria.
Yeah.
I was saying sometimes it doesn't work.
When we were in Minneapolis, they said there are 7,000 Somalis in.
And we heard
let them come get educated and. You know, I think when I think about the Koreans, I mean, if they could just see how the other half lived, can we get away with the half of the stuff he does? Yeah.
We heard a special talk by the first Somali woman elected to, was it the city council? I guess you were.
Mm-hmm.
In Minneapolis.
I think
we have one more here.
And they have rank voting in Minneapolis for the city offices, which makes it easier for a
outside.
What kind of voting did you call it?
Ranked choice voting.
Ranked choice voting, which means you get a first and second choice. And then if your first choice doesn't win, your second choice goes on. Gets added to that.
This is something you can do only in local elections. They can't
Right.
They could.
Well, but they don't at this point.
There's nothing in the Constitution that says they can't.
Minnesota could.
And the states could do it, too. They could do it for national elections, too.
It's essentially an instant runoff.
Yes,
exactly. And what they do is they also save money because they don't have to do primaries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a lot, yeah.
Yeah, they just...
We do primaries to amazing extent.
So that, yeah, so no primary and somebody has to get over 50% of the vote.
Yeah.
So when you, if you don't get, if you get, if everybody gets less than 50% of the vote, the lowest vote getter drops off and the people's second choice from the lowest vote getter go up
until it gets up to 50%.
Until somebody gets up to 50%.
Yeah.
And you heard a talk by the Green Party member of the city council who's been on for several years. They have one Green Party member and the rest are Democrats.
What about the Green Democrats?
There may be some who consider themselves as such. One more victim here.
I'm losing my voice again.
It's about sanctuary.
Sanctuary or safe zones can refer to all kinds of immigrant-friendly laws,
policies, and resolutions that share a common belief
of keeping communities safer and keeping ICE out of local law enforcement. Schools, colleges,
hospitals, worship communities,
and public events are sensitive locations that even ICE themselves recognize as protected. Will you offer sanctuary?
This is a real reality for undocumented immigrants.
Local organizations are the most up-to-date on sanctuary policies because every city, county, and state is different. Sign up for the alerts on their emails or Facebook. Ask if there's a rapid response network that you can support. Practice and share fundamental rights, like close the door on ICE if they don't have a judicial warrant. Remember, you have the right to remain silent.
Sir, are you a citizen?
I don't have to answer that question, sir.
And always record and report with pictures and video.
University of Minnesota collected more than 1,000 signatures in the last week asking the university to create a sanctuary campus.
I wanted to really make a voice for the undocumented students.
Work for your local school to enact a sanctuary policy. Everyone can gather petitions, organize sit-ins, walkouts, or even town halls to get your board to enact sanctuary policies. Develop a local volunteer network in case students have detained family members or are detained themselves.
If you're a teacher, you are often a first stop for kids needing help. Discussing current policies lets students share how they are affected. Call school meetings to educate about immigrant rights and protection policies. Connect with parents and let them know you're a safe resource for help.
If you're a parent, provide resources for your school, such as connections to a local immigration org or pro bono lawyers in case a family needs legal support.
More than 6,000 people have signed up to provide sanctuary around the country, including 800 churches.
We will keep people safe, and if they come to us, we know how to keep them safe.
Faith communities joining the sanctuary movement provide a way to support undocumented people and keep families together. Advocate and organize. Build teams in your congregation dedicated to actions to support immigrants and refugees.
Become part of the Deportation Defense Network. Offer legal clinics and legal defense funds. Provide workshops on Know Your Rights and how to prepare families if there is a deportation.
Faith leaders can show up to accompany undocumented people at check-ins with ICE to lower that risk of deportation. Create a public statement that your community is a welcoming space for all people.
If your congregation is ready to offer sanctuary to someone facing deportation orders, assist with food, shelter, and legal needs.
Our faith calls us to the work of sanctuary.
We will not be driven by fear. We will not let fear drive our decisions. We are, as a people, what we value in this community.
We are a people of courage. We are a people of faith. We are a people of peace. Thank you.
Support your county, city, and state in creating safe zones for all residents by law or practice,
so that no money or resources aid unjust deportations.
Advocate for safe zones to stop ICE access to jails and police databases, holding people in jail due to immigration status. Local law enforcement holding people for ICE violates the Fourth Amendment.
Cities and counties have no legal obligation to enforce immigration laws with ICE.
Get all your friends to call their local county and city representatives to limit ICE's ability to divert resources away from community safety. Advocate to stop information sharing, such as addresses or release dates.
Share the impact of safe zones with these elected officials, either one-on-one or at public city and county meetings.
We are all immigrants.
The Trump agenda is to deport people as quickly as possible, ignoring constitutional human rights.
Everyone has a right to due process, regardless if you are a citizen or not.
Sanctuary is a way to uphold that right.
We are our own protectors.
We will build sanctuary for our communities
and keep our people safe.
Feel that, especially in Latin America, so much of the stuff that they're fleeing and the safety aspects for immigrants is our cause. We caused it with the School of the Americas, and that damn place is still open. And we're still training these jerks.
Right? And giving them tons of money.
Yeah.
That's not only that. I mean, we did the war on drugs, which fed violence.
Yeah, but I mean,
and then there's the World Bank, which has been handing out loans.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what the School of Americas is there to protect all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
how would you counter the argument that criminals who are in this country can be using these movements for their own benefit? This is what some people will tell you, and I think it could well be true. And,
well, except the people that they report deporting aren't criminals.
Well, I know.
But the problem is the lack of due process.
Even
the criminals deserve due process under our rules. If you simply assume
just be arbitrary
that everybody who doesn't look like you is a criminal.
Oh, heaven. No,
and
no,
start no. Assuming that if they come from another country, you know, where were you born?
Yeah.
That they shouldn't be here, and a whole series of other things in the package, then there's a need for a sanctuary movement.
Mm-hmm.
But to counter
it
that.
Has to go along with due process and proper treatment of those who were accused of crimes.
The vast majority of people who get deported without lawyers.
That's right.
And I just heard on the radio the other day, they were talking about something where they made sure everybody, some county or someplace, where they made sure everybody had a lawyer before they went into their hearing for deportation. And the result was zero of those people got deported in those hearings. And they were interviewing one young man who, wife and baby, you know, was no criminal record, was swooped up. And the lawyer was there, and he said, I was speechless. I wouldn't have any idea how to answer those questions that they ask. But my lawyer was right there, and he told me how, you know, he had interviewed me, he told me the things to say, that weren't lies. I mean, they were truth. It just he didn't know what the proper thing to say would be and was not deported. And another thing they said in this is that they're going now, the ISIS never used to go into courtrooms, and now they're actually going into courtrooms and scooping people up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So if you get a traffic violation, for example, and you're, you know, in there for your ticket, they'll just come and take you away.
Yeah. Now, would Madison police be protected from reporting that if we're sanctuary city?
What do you mean? That
they would if somebody comes in for a traffic violation?
Well, this is what...
And they're undocumented. Do the police have to report that?
No.
If we're sanctuary city, doesn't that mean the police don't have to report
No, they don't have to report it, but...
Actually, it's really a don't ask, don't tell. They basically do if they actually know the case. But if they don't...
This sounded like it was just a fishing thing. You know,
yes.
And then there's some people who are reporting, you know, who've been reporting every year to say, you know, that they're in the country and they've been following all the rules. And instead of getting their green card renewed, they get deported. And there's just simply not enough immigration lawyers to anywhere near cover the need.
Yeah, well, you can't ask the few lawyers who are able to do that to do it all pro bono. They've got
right.
To,
yeah.
Any more than there's enough lawyers to cover the evictions that are creating homelessness. We have one lawyer in a 3-county area that's in here that's covering those evictions. So.
Under whose auspices is it?
I mean, that's her job. She's a lawyer helping people.
But paid by the county?
No, not paid by the county. Either paid by the individuals or organizations. I think she's just paid by the individuals.
Well, it's fairly apparent there'd be a lot of lawyers that wouldn't know all the details.
Right. I mean, that's hers, and she's on the county board, and that's her specialty is... I think that's basically all she does is prevent foreclosures. But she's the only one. I mean, you know, there's just not enough lawyers around to care.
Well, she's just doing that pro bono across the board.
Oh, I think she must be earning some money somehow.
Right. The woman from Iran is on the city council?
Mm-mm. This is somebody in Madison. Who was at the panel, on the panels that I... The homeless panels. But that, I mean, there just simply aren't enough lawyers doing all of this kind of work. It's humanitarian work.
Well, there's that. But there's also the issue that, you know, if we were basically humanitarians to the actual countries, so they didn't actually have to feel like they had to immigrant.
Yeah, right. You know, then, exactly.
I mean, that way, if they really wanted to solve it, instead of deporting these people, that's what they do. They actually
go to the root causes,
it.
Yeah.
Root causes and fix it. Help fix the
country. Most people would rather be in their home community.
And the gangs are such a problem, partly because the kids got into gangs here, and then they deported the kids, so they deported the gangs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're kind of responsible for that one, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, how did they decide where to deport you to? And if they get you there and people won't have you, what happens?
They don't do any social work when they deport people, they just dump you. And sometimes they dump you in a country that isn't your own.
As an immigrant myself, I remember when Art Cigoni said at the Monona Terrace big meeting, "Welcome to my country."
Yeah.
Yeah, we weren't even talking about that.
Of course, there was that one time we almost didn't get you back in the country.
Any other discussion comments?
Syria particularly. I mean, a lot of Syrians wouldn't have left.
Oh, absolutely not.
Their country basically hadn't been tortured.
Bombed.